Okay, let's get our Bibles and we'll start tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. And basically, we're going to be picking up where we left off last week. We are studying what the Bible says about mental health, what the Bible says about mental health. And we learned from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so we go by the Bible and we ignore things that disagree with or contradict the Bible because we want to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And then in 2 Peter, we learn that when God saved us, he gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so whatever you need to live and whatever you need to live a godly life, God gave it to you when you got saved. Now it is true, and I've tried to explain this, it is true that things go wrong in life and they have very detrimental effects upon people. And so we're not ruling out any of those things. But again, let me say this one more time. If you are listening to this message and you are medicating, do not cease medicating because of what you heard me say. Okay? I don't want to be responsible for you doing something that hurts you or hurts others. But here's what I'm going to say, and I have no reservations at all about saying this. If you have recurring headaches because you have a muscle problem in your neck, or you have recurring headaches because all you eat is junk food, Tylenol, ibuprofen, it'll help your headaches. They will not solve the problem that is causing your headaches. And what I'm trying to get the affected people to recognize is if you are medicating yourself so that you can feel better or so you can cope with a problem, but you're not dealing with the problem, you're stopping short of what you should be doing. If you get constant headaches from a junk food diet, well, you should stop eating junk food. If you get constant headaches because you're sleeping with a crook in your neck because of your pillow is too large, get a different pillow. Don't keep taking headache medicine every day of your life. If you have emotional problems that you're medicating, but you have not dealt with the root causes of those problems biblically, you have not yet given God an opportunity to prove himself to you. Now, if you've done everything the Bible tells you to do, and we'll go through all these things, if you've done all that in your mind, your brain is broken. Well, the scripture tells us how to help you who have a broken mind. But if your mind is broken or your emotions are damaged and you won't let God help you to repair what damaged or what broke you, well, that's on you. That's your fault. And I'll say one more thing before we begin. I don't understand an insistence in focusing all of my attention upon something hurtful when I have a million good things in my life that God has done for me that he expects me to focus my attention upon. Now, you can call that whatever you want. You can call it insensitive. You can say, I just don't understand what you're going through. Listen, tonight you could be just let me put it on me. I could be just as depressed as anyone on earth if I choose to dwell upon all the things that I know about my life and your lives and my failures and your failures and the horrible things that have happened to all of us at some time or another. Or I could think about Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. And what I want to do is get people to think biblically instead of thinking carnally and supposing that there's no option but the carnal mind. And the world will tell you that whatever it is that somebody's doing, it's because they were born that way. Well, so what? Do something about it. If someone you know, this is an example, if someone you know is about to have a baby and they have that baby and the doctor comes in and says, the baby has a hole in his heart. Well, who would leave the hole in the heart of the baby and say, well, he was born that way? If you had a baby and the baby was born with a cleft palate, who would say, well, she was born that way, and then leave it that way? Okay, so if you would immediately correct a physical defect, why are we not interested in correcting spiritual defects, defects of the mind? See, you live in a society that glories in the abnormal and condemns the normal. We see more and more of that all the time. And hey, that in itself is mental illness. There's something wrong with that. It is not a badge of honor to be broken. You have people bragging about their mental problems. No, it's a badge of honor to get victory over those weaknesses, those deficiencies, those things in our lives that are broken. That's what the Lord is all about. He's not about comforting us while we wallow in our defeats. He's about elevating us to a place of victory. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, casting down imaginations. Okay, that's imaginations. That's when you let your mind wander and go off where it shouldn't go. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, those are things that are external. They try to get into your thought life. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, there are some thoughts that enter your mind unbidden. Okay? Those are imaginations. And God said to deal with that. There are some thoughts that are just thrust upon you, maybe by a coworker cursing next to you or within earshot, or an employer giving you a lecture full of nonsense. And so you got to deal with that. And then there are just things that occur to you and they come to your mind and you say, well, I just think. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the way I look at it, but what does the Bible say? The Lord expects us to be the governor of every single thought that runs through our mind. We're not to surrender our thoughts. We are to capture and to conquer our thoughts. Okay, now having said that, I want to show you a list of mental troubles that you find in the Bible. You say, the Bible doesn't say that. Oh, it does. It does. Let me show you some things the Bible says. We'll start on this week. We'll finish it up next week. It's a long list. What the Bible says about people who have some real, serious, genuine mental problems. Okay? Genesis chapter 26 will be the first place. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 34. Do you love your children? Do you want the best for your children? Do you love Jesus? And do you think Jesus is the best thing for your children? Okay. Can you make your children agree with you? Maybe you're not sure. Well, you're God's children, right? God's more powerful than you are. Do you do everything he wants you to do? Okay. If God isn't able to make you do what he wants, you might want to check your expectations for your children. Having said that, Genesis 26, verse number 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Okay, grief is the word that we use for sorrow that accompanies the loss of a loved one. Well, when Esau married Judith, it affected his father and his mother mentally as though he had died. When he doubled down and married Bashemath, it affected his father and mother as though he had died. Okay? So there are some of you tonight whose, maybe your children have broken your heart. There are some of you tonight whose children have brought you shame. There are some of you tonight who you have to try not to dwell upon where your children are tonight because it's too painful to dwell upon. And that's addressed in the scripture. You know, the man that's mentioned here, Isaac, if you were to go to Hebrews chapter 11, you would find him in the roll call of faith. That man was able to make God's call of faith while his mind was in a state of grief over the condition of his son. The Bible does not rebuke this man or his wife for feeling as they did about the choices that their grown son had made. The Bible does not criticize this man or his wife for saying, my son, he's 40 years old, and look what he's doing. I can't even invite him to the family reunion because those women will show up drunk or they'll show up cussing or they'll do something shameful. And yet, in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, by faith, Isaac. There he is. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, fathers of the chosen people. Meaning what? Meaning that it is possible to have some part of your mind grieving while the majority of your mind and your heart is devoted to God and living for God as the Lord would intend. Okay, let's keep going here. Deuteronomy is next. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You say, what am I supposed to do then? Act like I don't care? No, we are to cast all our care upon him, on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't live without care, but we give our care to Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then the Lord, he starts unloading on them. If you don't obey my commandments, this is going to happen to you. 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 And it just goes on and on and on and on until we get all the way down to verse number 64. Verse number 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people and from the one end of the earth even unto the other. Okay? Well, he has done that. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. So do you know what that is? The world calls that anxiety. The world calls it panic attacks. Look, you can call it what you want. You know what God said? Before you let your shrink medicate you, do you know what God said? This is how you feel when you spend years of your life disobeying. Well, what do you expect, America? I'll tell you how insane my country is. Not that you don't already know. Just one little glimpse. There are these people. Maybe you've heard of them. They're ISIS. They are the Muslims who actually believe the Quran. Okay? You believe the Bible, they believe the Quran. And what they do is they look at the corruption of Western society and they say, we're going to kill you guys. You are so wicked. You deserve to die. We're going to kill you. And they've got verses from their Quran to justify it. So they go over there to England. And some naked 20-year-old is dancing around on the stage. And the Muslims set off a bomb and kill some people. And the world's answer to that is to have another show and put some more naked girls on the stage singing songs about love. Because, well, if ISIS just hears us singing songs about love without any clothes on, they're going to change their minds and they're going to stop killing us. You know what that is? That is God giving a culture over to a reprobate mind. Don't pray. Don't seek God. Don't repent. Take your clothes off. Hold hands on stage. They don't even light a real candle anymore. They just hit a button on their cell phone and everybody holds up the light in their cell phone and sings about love. And the whole world is going to lay down their weapons and we're all just going to have peace and harmony and drink a Coke together and fornicate together and smoke pot together. And it's just going to be, you're out of your mind. As a nation, you're insane. The whole nation's insane. You know what God said? The reason you're in fear when you get up in the morning is because you disobeyed me. The reason you're in fear when you go to bed at night is because you disobeyed me. The reason you're afraid to go to the store, afraid to walk in the dark, afraid to drive through that neighborhood, afraid to not lock your doors at night is because you're so full of sin that I'm not helping you anymore. That's what he said. So my question is, before you say, I have an anxiety disorder, or I have this fear that I can't control, or I have these panic attacks, my question to you would be, are you walking in obedience to the word of God? Well, no, you don't understand. I do understand. I understand that according to the scriptures, people's lives get so terribly wrong that they're afraid of life itself because they've divorced themselves from God and from the word of God. And if you haven't addressed that, I'm urging you to address that before you put all your trust and all your confidence in psychiatrists and medication. There might be a fixable cure for your legitimate mental illness. You are ill mentally. And I'm not saying that to be offensive. If you are afraid of everything, you are mentally ill. If you're afraid of governments and meteors falling on your head, stuff in your water, stuff in your air, and your neighbor spying on you with his spy ray gun, that is not healthy. And rather than lock yourself in your room and be afraid to stick your head out the door, I would do something to help me function and to help me cope. But while you're doing that, would you check the word of God and see if you're living in obedience to the Lord's commandments? Because that might be why life seems so overwhelming. Okay, we're trying the Bible tonight. The next one is Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. I believe, and you can disagree with me on this one if you want to, I believe when a defense attorney says, Your Honor, this man murdered his wife and children, but he wasn't in his right mind when he did it. Well, no kidding. I don't care how you felt when you did it. Did you do it? And that should be the only determining factor. Well, when this woman drowned her babies in the bathtub, Your Honor, she wasn't in her right mind. Well, how about that? Who needs to bring in an expert witness to know that that's true? Every person on earth who molests a child is mentally ill. Every person on earth who dabbles in pornography has mental issues. Every person on this earth who takes another person's life is crazy. And we're not denying that, not even arguing that. Look what Proverbs 21, verse 27 says. Verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? See, here's the problem. You have a society now where the judge and the attorneys and the jury and the family on both sides don't think that murder is a sin. You can't use the word sin. This is a legal proceeding. You can't use the word sin. We're not here to judge the killer. We're not here to condemn the killer. We're here to determine his emotional state that you people put him up to. See, you see all that stuff? You've seen it. Look, here's the problem. You got people sitting from the time they were born in front of a box that's showing the murder and nakedness and adultery and perversion as though it's mere entertainment. And then the kid gets bored with TV, and so we get the kid a computer or a phone, smartphone, and the kid sits in his room and watches murder and perversion and nakedness and adultery and everything else that's dredged up out of hell. And they see so much of that that their mind is wicked. Well, if your mind is wicked, you are mentally ill. But the cure for that, it's not short term. The cure, I'm not talking about how you can get through the next 24 hours when I say that. The cure for that is not to be found in psychotropic medication or telling some lost shrink how you feel. The cure for that is the cleansing of your mind and the cleansing of your heart, the washing of water by the word. Your mind is wicked. Do you think it's all right to mess with little children? Your mind is wicked. You think it's all right to spend the night with your neighbor's husband, your neighbor's wife? You're wicked. Those are the facts. You know, we had soldiers being killed in battle, fighting these monsters that want to cut your throat, burn you in a cage. And the governor of a certain state wouldn't lower the flag to honor their deaths. But they did lower the flag to honor the sodomites who died on a dance floor. Okay, well, I think it's a terrible thing to walk into a club and shoot people, but there's no honor in dying in a nightclub dancing. Somebody's got a wicked mind. The shooter, wicked mind. The people that were doing what they were doing in the club that night, wicked mind. And when you say that, of course, your society freaks out because then, now I'm the monster. The shooter was mentally ill. The people, oh, they were noble victims. But you Bible thumpers, you got problems. I'm telling you, the Bible says some people's minds are wicked. In America, every city has a public listing of registered sex offenders so that you can know how close they are to your house. You know what that is? That's the people caught, charged, tried, and convicted, and they just let them go, and then they let you know where they are. And that's just the ones that were caught. So that makes me wonder how many are out there that were never caught. Well, I'm telling you, there's not enough drugs in the pharmacy that can fix something like that. There are some people who need some brain washing with the blood of Jesus Christ because they've got wicked minds. Okay, next one, Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter number 5. So you didn't know the Bible had so much to say about mental illness. It just never paints it as something that you ought to be bragging about. Daniel chapter 5, this is old Belshazzar. He's at a drinking party. The Lord shows up, writes on the wall, and he brings in Daniel to interpret the words on the wall. And Daniel begins to remind Belshazzar of the pride of his father, Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says in Daniel 5, verse 20, but when his heart, that'd be Nebuchadnezzar's heart, was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. So this is a man, he went from living in a palace to being homeless. This man went from ruling a kingdom to living like an animal. He is genuinely mentally ill. I mean, if you're crawling around in the backyard on all fours, yeah, you're mentally ill. You know what the Bible said happened to that man? He hardened his mind because he was too proud to repent of his sin and to honor the God of heaven. Now, I'm not trying to drag anybody through the mud, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody's past. But here's an example. If you go talk to some of those homeless people that you normally avoid, people who are living on the streets, maybe some of them living in the woods, you'll find out that many of them are educated, had a job, had a career, had a family. And they'll say it's society's fault, it's the government's fault, it's their parents' fault, it's the ex-wife's fault, it's the church's fault, it's the pastor's fault. And then when you try to quote them some scripture, I don't want to hear any of that Bible stuff, you know. If you're in the United States of America, where you can get a free house and free phone and free food and free electricity, and you're living on the streets, well, you're messed up. Your mind is messed up. You are mentally ill. But the scripture says you are not mentally ill because the government didn't give you enough food stamps or because they're building a wall to keep out your friends. No, you're mentally ill because you hardened your mind because you were too proud to bow before God and obey his word. That's what the scripture says. Now, if we hadn't got to yours yet, we got a ways to go here. And what I want to know is, if you are suffering from grief of mind, if you're suffering from excessive fear, if you're suffering from a wicked mind, if you've lost everything in life, okay, no one is denying that you have some genuine issues mentally. What I want to know is, will you acknowledge the possibility that the source of those problems might be your relationship to God, or better said, a lack thereof. I'll give you an example. And again, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just giving an example. There are people in America, there are places where they live, and the government provides housing for them. And all of their circuits are short-circuited, and all of their wiring in their mind is scrambled, and it's not coming back. They are genuinely mentally ill. They are out of their minds and probably will be till the day they die. And many of them, if you actually talk with them, you'll come to know this, many of them, LSD, illegal psychotropic drugs, bad trips, prolonged exposures, overdoses, that sort of thing. Do I have some sympathy? I have some sympathy. The Bible says, be sober. That's what it says. Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Okay? So, does anybody want to acknowledge that if someone is not in their right mind because they continued to absorb or to inject or to swallow things that destroy your mind, there's some responsibility there for that condition. And it's not with God. Everybody wants to blame God. Everybody wants to blame society. Nobody wants to say, in my pride, I hardened my mind against the truth of the Bible and the truth of the Word of God, and this is where it got me. Could some people sometimes just acknowledge that? I did this to myself. That's all. And many of us here tonight should say, thank you, Lord, that in all of my attempts to do that to myself, you never let that happen to me. And, you know, people, they'll hear a message like this and they'll say, you're too judgmental. Let them that is without sin cast the first stone. Isn't it amazing what lost people know about the Bible? You know, don't judge, don't throw a stone. Jesus turned water into wine. Okay, we know that you're into those three things. But you know what? Did you know that the one who turned water into wine said, be sober? And that's what he expects us to be. And that's as far as we can go tonight. We'll continue on this list of problems. There's more in the Bible, problems that people have with their minds, according to the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a mind that wants to obey you. Help us, Lord, to not make excuses when we do wrong. Help us, Lord, to look to your word for instructions and how you would have us to live and to have a heart that desires to do so. Help us, Lord, to always trust your word and the solutions that are there, the answers that are there for any problem of our mind that we might come up against one of these days, and that we might get the victory as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.